I labored over this text. What I had in my head and in my heart changed when I was writing this sermon. And it didn't change because of me. You know, God works in mysterious ways. I can just imagine walking into work tomorrow, clocking in, prepping for my day, and all of a sudden my bosses call a department meeting. As they whip through the agenda, my ears perk up as they mention some new procedures that they'd like to start implementing effective next Monday. The first thing that comes to my mind is, as if my department isn't overwhelmed enough. Now they want to add all these changes? Does it really matter? We've been doing it this way for the last 3 years that I've been here. Why do they have to do this now? Excuse me, boss. Why didn't you let me know? As supervisor of the department, it would have been nice if I'd known about this ahead of time to train the staff. In addition, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Can anyone say insubordination? And number two, can anyone say you're fired? Now that was my first thought when I was reading this gospel, was how insubordinate are these people? Now, of course, this was a hypothetical story, but it made me really ponder this gospel reading, because I just thought about insubordination. But then I asked myself, why did they question Jesus in that way? Especially when they were foretold, not only by John the Baptist, in more recent years, that Jesus was going to come with authority from God himself, as that he was the one, as we read specifically in the Psalm, because God himself speaks there and says, I will open my mouth in parables. Hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. So the chief priests and the elders of that time were so religious, and the scholars of the sacred texts, then why didn't they believe him? Now, according to the Bible, the only Pharisee who I felt was on the right course was Nicodemus. God graced him with wisdom that the others didn't have, because he said in John chapter 3, no one could have done these miraculous signs unless God were with him. Still, all the others were afraid, and this is where I changed my thinking. Because I believe that the direction that Jesus was going here, or that the writers of the gospel was going here, were that these chief priests and the elders were afraid. They were afraid of revolt. They were afraid of the future. And they were afraid of change. You know, maybe that's the right answer here. Fear. That's why they couldn't listen, they couldn't hear to what was foretold them. Because they had John the Baptist, and they also had the Psalms and the previous scriptures to tell them that there was one coming. But they were afraid. It was fear. Pure fear. Now, how many of us can identify with fear? I know I can. Any kind of fear. Does it really matter? Yeah, it does. Do you know that the word fear is an acronym? I was told it could be. In two ways. Face everything and run. Or face everything and recover. Face the fear. Now, we've all heard FDR's famous quote, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Yet we all fear something, but wouldn't it be nice not to? I have a fear of heights. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to get in a passenger plane and go somewhere, but I'm sure as heck not going to go mountain climbing or zip lining anytime soon. And by the way, I hate clowns and spiders. But I digress. You see, another thing that I learned is that faith chases away fear. And I love knowing that my faith runs real deep. I still hate clowns and spiders. But I think that if the so-called righteous had just listened and faced the future with a not-so-dim outlook, that some of them would have had a Nicodemus moment. And maybe some, not all, but some of their fears might have subsided. And even though Jesus' fate was inevitable, maybe it would have been a little less cruel. When we have fears, we can be very cruel. Because that's how we respond. We lash out of fear. It's a fight or flight response. We don't know any other way, maybe. It's scary. We live in such a state of a hatred of a world. In here, we feel safe. Most of the time we feel safe in our own homes. But what do we do between here and home? Exactly. That's what we should be doing. Praying. Because He is our safety net. God is our safety net. His Son is our safety net. The Holy Spirit is our safety net. That is what is going to chase away our fears. We don't want to be like those chief elders and priests and Pharisees and doubters and haters. We want to face everything and recover. But I'm going to leave you with your own thoughts. And your own heartfelt feelings to ponder. I have the words here to one of my favorite songs by Styx that I'm going to read and paraphrase, because it's a song of confusion. And he prays for God to show him the way. And I pray that God shows you all the way through your fears. Every night I say a prayer in the hopes that there's a heaven. And every day I'm more confused as the saints turn into sinners. All the heroes and legends I knew as a child have fallen to idols of clay. And I feel this empty place inside, so afraid that I've lost my faith. Show me the way. As I slowly drift to sleep, for a moment dreams are sacred. I close my eyes and know there's peace in a world so full of hatred. I wake up each morning and turn on the news to find we've so far to go. And I keep on hoping for a sign, so afraid that I just won't know. Show me the way. Take me tonight to the mountain and take my confusion away and show me the way. Give me the strength and courage to believe that I'll get there someday and show me the way. So may Almighty God show every one of you the way. And God bless you all until we get there all someday.